morning. I'm Nancy McCarthy. I'm a reporter for the Daily Astorian newspaper. And today we are talking to Teresa Retzlaff, Development Director for the North Coast Land Conservancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Well, tell me a little bit about the North Coast Land Conservancy. How long have you been there, and what do you do there?
Well, North Coast Land Conservancy is a local land trust. We work in this coastal bioregion, and the service area that we cover runs from sort of Astoria down to Lincoln City, from the top of the Coast Range to the sea. And my role there is I'm the development director. I've worked there since last July. And a development director is pretty much in charge of doing the outreach and fundraising programming for the organization. So I've got a lot to do. I'm being kept very busy, but it's been a really fascinating experience, and I've really enjoyed working for the organization. And part of that's just getting to know the whole vision that the organization has. The board of directors for North Coast Land Conservancy has set a really amazing long-term vision for the North Coast that helps guide all the work that we do. And the goal is really that of a fully functioning coastal landscape where healthy communities, you know, people, plants, and wildlife can all thrive together. So that's a tall order. There's a lot of work to do, and there's a lot of people who are working on parts of that. And what the work that North Coast Land Conservancy does as a part of that is we work through land conservation and through public engagement with the land to achieve those goals. So I guess we really see ourselves as a community service organization. We work with other local and regional groups to find common ground and achieve common goals for stewardship on Oregon's coast.
Well, now you have the Land Conservancy basically conserves land between here and between Astoria and Lincoln City. How many lands do you have? How many properties?
Well, right now, North Coast Land Conservancy has, as a combination of conservation easements and fee title ownership, we have about 1,700 acres that we have conserved throughout the course of the organization's operation, which I think it's been in operation for about 24 years.
About 24 years.
Yeah. Wow. And then we also have, I would say, about an equal number of acres that we have helped to facilitate conservation on. I'm working with other organizations, other state national parks or local municipalities. So we aren't the owner of the property, but we help to facilitate someone else acquiring that property, and it is now under some kind of conservation protection.
That's a big job.
It is a really big job. It's a complicated job. There's a lot of work to do. The organization has grown tremendously in the last few years. Really in the last few years, it's gone from having one staff person to four.
Oh, gee.
And there's a lot of work that we're doing, but the opportunities are huge. There is so much going on right now on the coast and so many opportunities. And, you know, again, the board of directors had really worked on their strategic plan and decided this was the time to expand, to really try and take advantage of all the opportunity that was coming our way.
How do you determine what land you want to conserve?
Well, one thing that the Land Conservancy does, and I love this concept, since I've gotten to really understand this philosophy, we've adopted a concept of green infrastructure as an approach to our land stewardship. And it focuses on the creation of corridors and connected landscapes. It's really crucial that conserved lands can connect to one another in order for them to function well together. Mm-hmm. If you can imagine in a city or in a town, there's what you call gray infrastructure, which is the roads, the sewers, the electricity and water lines and all of those kinds of infrastructure parts. And they all need to be connected to one another for that system to function. If you can imagine, you could have a section of road, 20 feet of road somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. And we could all look at that and say, oh, yeah, that's a piece of road.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't take you anywhere. It doesn't lead you. It's not connected to anything. And so it's not really functioning as a road. And it's the same thing with the green infrastructure that surrounds all of our communities.
You have some connections there.
Connections are incredibly important. All the streams, wetlands, forests, all of those need to connect to one another somehow for that system to really function effectively. And that's the kind of thing that we focus on. Really what we're trying to do is make the connection from the ridgetop to the sea in as many ways as possible all along our service area.
Oh, I know, just driving down Highway 101 between Astoria and Cannon Beach, I can see some of those lands, and I really appreciate it. You know, when I'm coming home from work and I see horses and I see elk and I see eagles, and I think, wow, this is just what a treasure we have here.
We live in one of the most beautiful places on the planet. Yeah. People come from all over the world to see the Oregon coast. And one of the most interesting things I learned, I think within my first week of working there, our executive director, Katie Volke, came into one of our staff meetings and told us, you know, she just learned the most amazing statistic that blew her mind. She said, I just read something that said somewhere around 80% of all of the public beaches in the entire United States are located in Oregon.
Wow.
I mean, just get your
public
mind around
being
that.
The operative word.
Public
yeah.
beaches in Oregon, in the entire United States. Wow. And that is an amazing resource that we have. And you think about it, too, with the Oregon coast, there are no major cities located on the Oregon coast. Mm. This is really a coastline that is a string of small cities and small fishing villages, little communities, all strung together by this beautiful network of green, of nature mm-hmm. landscape. And it is a jewel, and it is well worth conserving. And I think that, you know, what we recognize is that when the system, the ecosystem that surrounds these communities is functioning and healthy, that helps those communities be healthy and functioning mm-hmm. and economically viable as well.
That's right.
So that's important.
Well, describe some of the properties that you have.
Well, you know, one of the ones that I think is... Our cornerstone is really where we have our conservation center in Seaside, which is what we call Circle Creek Conservation Center. It's about 364 acres, right at the base of Tillamook Head. And as you're driving south on 101 and you're leaving Seaside and you sort of pass the Circle Creek campground and you're looking over to your right, pretty much all of that pasture and those trees, mm-hmm. that's Circle Creek. It's a beautiful piece of property. We acquired it about 5 years ago. And have slowly been working to do a lot of habitat development on the pasture, planting native shrubs and trees, trying to reconnect the forest there. There is some beautiful intact Sitka spruce swamp on the property. Mm. It's just a gorgeous property. And what's really exciting about it is that it also works on this whole theme of connectivity that we're working on. It is essentially almost contiguously connected to, I want to say almost 600 acres over the last 15 years, North Coast Land Conservancy has been working along the Nikanicum and the Neawana systems in that estuary, the Nikanicum estuary, conserving land. And it is about close to 600 acres now that is all within that community. And you think about the city of Seaside is this thriving community. And within that is this amazing estuary. Mm-hmm. And what North Coast Land Conservancy is focused on is conserving that estuary as much as possible so that it can continue to function and provide the incredible resource that estuaries provide to nature and to people. And what this has allowed is this incredible partnership now with the City of Seaside and other groups in establishing the Nikanicum Estuary Natural History Park.
That's going to be a wonderful park.
It really is. It's so exciting. Yeah. And I know everyone who's worked on it, who went through the visioning process mm-hmm. with the Jones & Jones firm from Seattle, mm-hmm. was incredibly excited and inspired. And we are very excited to be able to work with the community on this and have so much of this incorporate lands that we have helped to protect and conserve.
Tell me about some other lands that you have. I know you have something, you have a half acre of property.
Some of our lands are very small and some of them are very mm-hmm. big. Circle Creek is the biggest piece of property that we have, and we do have some that are a half acre. And, you know, really how we determine the land that we conserve really isn't about how big it is. It's we have a very stringent set of criteria that we look at when we look at a piece of land. I mean, people will say, oh, you know, you should buy this piece of land or that piece of land. And we'll go look at it. And we have a checklist of things that we're looking mm-hmm. for in, you know, does it have ecological value? Is it functioning? What's there? And then even more important than that, is it connected to anything else? So even if it's a very small piece of property, it might be connected to, you know, it might be right next door to the national park or a state park. And so we know that if we acquire that piece of land and conserve it, it's going to increase its function because it's going to be added to a larger piece of land in a landscape that's already functioning. And that can help us continue to make those connections so that the system can work overall. And that also plays into another focus area that we have. We have developed a number of what we call initiatives. And these are areas of conservation focus that we have that we sort of work with, and we've identified these as landscapes that really have value. And if those connections can be made within that landscape, that's really going to enhance making that ridge to sea connection. And one of them is along what we call the Neocoxie Wildlife Corridor, mm-hmm. which is what goes from the Nakanikum Estuary all the way up pretty much to Camp Rylea. That whole coastal prairie system there with the Neocoxie waterway running through it. And one of the great partnership opportunities that we have, and this is one of those areas where, you know, we sometimes help facilitate land being acquired, but we don't own it. Well, we kind of temporarily do right now. We're working with Lewis and Clark National Park. An opportunity came up for an amazing piece of land. It was a little over 100 acres on the, you know, Clatsop Plains. It actually has, I think, about a mile of ocean front as well. It's a beautiful piece of land. National Parks really wanted to acquire it. They had the funding. Everything was all lined up. But for a national park to acquire land, you're basically expanding a national park boundary, and there's all kinds of hoops you have to jump through and paperwork, and it has to go back to Washington, and then it has to come back, and lots and lots of people have to sign off on it, and it takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And there was some time constraints on this deal. And so what North Coast Land Conservancy did is that we managed to acquire the funding. We purchased the property. And so we are now holding that property until Lewis and Clark National mm-hmm. Park can get all their papers signed, and then they are then going to buy the property from us.
So it's a creative solution then.
It's a very creative solution to allow this piece of land. It's a beautiful piece of land, amazing wildlife habitat mm-hmm. on it. They're very excited to acquire it, and they're really excited to have it incorporated into their national park. And we're really excited that it's going to be conserved. It's part of this Neocoxie Wildlife Corridor that we've been working on. I think we started with just, I don't even know if it was a full acre of land, you know, many mm-hmm. years ago. And I think there's close to 300 acres now on that Neocoxie Wildlife Corridor system that are under conservation. So that kind of partnership is something that we really like to do. We don't necessarily want to own all the land. Owning the land can be a lot of work. So it's great if somebody else wants to own the land. We just like to help facilitate the process.
And that takes a lot of work, too.
It takes an awful lot of work, too.
You are listening to After Deadline. I'm Nancy McCarthy from the Daily Astorian. We're talking today to Teresa Retzlaff. She's the Development Director of the North Coast Land Conservancy. Teresa, how do you find the money for acquiring some of this land?
Oh, money is always the challenge in nonprofit worlds. Well, the land acquisitions, I don't want to say land acquisition is the easy part, but in some ways it is. We usually, it's a lot of it is through grant funding. We apply for grants, acquisition grants through organizations like the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, other entities like that. Also, private foundations that support land conservation, and also private individuals that have a larger vision for helping with acquiring lands. One of the things our organization, all of the operations, all of our staff salaries, all of the running of the organization is entirely funded by individual donations and some small grants.
Wow.
And so that's a really big challenge, especially now that we've gone through this big expansion. We're actually just about to start our spring fundraising campaign.
Oh, there you go.
So if anyone feels moved to support the work we do on the North Coast, I'd be more than happy to talk to them about that. But the reality is that it does take a lot of work, and it's hard. Sometimes people say, well, I want my money to support land conservation. I don't want it to go to staff salaries. And the thing is, the staff salaries are what make the land conservation happen. It's not always, we spend hundreds of hours going to meetings, doing surveys, walking the land, spending hours in title company offices, you know, meeting with prospective landowners, negotiating deals. And then once you've acquired a piece of land, you know, there's the whole stewardship plan for mm-hmm. it. You know, we take our stewardship of our lands very seriously, and you have to do a complete survey of the property, look at what's there, come up with a stewardship plan for it. And when you're conserving land in perpetuity, yeah, it's forever.
That's right.
You're coming up with a plan for this piece of land forever. And there are annual site visits for all of our lands that need to take place. All kinds of stuff, plus the public engagement that we do. We have a number of public events that we put on for ways that people can visit some of these lands that aren't necessarily easy for the public to access. Mm-hmm. But if we're having a program or a hike, they can come. We actually have one coming up on June 12th, which is
great.
One of our favorite pieces of property, Neil Main. are one of the founders of North Coast Land Conservancy.
I think a lot of people know Neil Main.
Neil Main is
sure.
wonderful, and mm-hmm. he is going to be leading a walk in what we call the Neocoxy Forest. It's a 40-acre property right along the Neocoxy Creek, truly minutes from downtown Gearhart. It is one of the most beautiful properties we own, and it's one of Neil's favorite properties, and he's going to be leading a walk in this forest. There's ancient crab apples and amazing plants. It's just a gorgeous walk. So that's on June 12th, Saturday,
great.
June 12th. And if anyone wants more information about our organization or anything to do with any of our programs, they can go to our website, which is nclctrust.org, or they can call us, which is 503-738-9126. And we're always happy to talk, to answer questions, and to be engaged with the public, because that's a lot of it, too. I mean, it's not just about making connections in the landscape. It's, it's making connections in the community as well, and connecting people to the landscape and helping them connect. I mean, one of the things that I think is really, really something to think about. I mean, Nancy, what do you love about the coast?
Oh, what don't I love about the coast? I think, well, obviously it's the land, it's the scenery, it's the idea of being able to walk out to the beach anytime I want to, and seeing the wonderful ocean, looking out and seeing the mountains at the same time. I mean, what isn't there to love about the beach? Even the rain isn't too bad.
I know. It's interesting. It's one of the things, when I ask people that question, no matter who I'm asking, most often the first words out of their mouth are, well, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful here. And that's the work we do. We work to help make sure that the coast is beautiful. I mean, that's a simplistic way of putting it. And it's not just, we're not just trying to conserve someone's view. There are real ecological processes that are happening underneath that provide a healthy landscape and that do support these communities that live here on the coast. And that's really what we're focusing on. In some ways, a side benefit of that is that when you conserve land for that kind of coastal function, you're also conserving some of the most beautiful places on the planet.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing job to do, and it's great work.
Well, you're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM, and KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM. Teresa, if somebody wanted to participate in conserving land and decided they'd like to give you some land or bequest some land to the North Coast Land Conservancy, how would they do that?
Well, probably the best thing you could do if you have either of those thoughts would be to give us a call and have a conversation with us about what your wishes are. We certainly do accept bequests and we accept donations of land. However, not all pieces of land are necessarily appropriate for us to accept, and they may not fit within our criteria. And so it's really good to have that discussion before you just write it into your will. If that's what happens, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's really better to have that discussion up front and do some planning with us. Also, so that we can take into account and make sure that we understand what someone's vision for their land might be. Mm-hmm. Bequests are wonderful. And certainly one of my jobs as development director has been working on developing our whole planned giving program to help people think about ways that they can leave a legacy on the North Coast. None of us like to talk about when we're gone.
Yeah.
But it is something to think about. And that, you know, supporting an organization like North Coast Land Conservancy truly is a way to leave a legacy that will exist in perpetuity. The lands that we conserve, we take the stewardship of our lands very, very seriously. And we work very hard to make sure that they are well cared for or that they care for themselves. I mean, ideally for us, the lands that we really love to conserve are the lands that are in great shape.
Sure.
And there's actually a lot of that out there. You know, when you can acquire a piece of land and all you've really got to do is just leave it alone and let it do its thing and just let it function, that's great. We do acquire lands that, you would look at it and say, well, it might need some help. We try to allow the land to heal itself first if there's some sort of disturbance, but sometimes that's not possible, so you might need to go in and remove invasives. And actually, that's a great way that people can get involved. Mm-hmm. We have a volunteer program. We call it our Fourth Saturday Volunteers. And so the fourth Saturday of every month, volunteers, we have a program our stewardship director, Celeste Coulter, runs, and we go out onto a different land that we have and generally do some kind of invasive plant removal or
you
some kind of habitat development.
Broom busting recently.
We just finished broom busting week, which was fantastic. And certainly just because our official broom busting week is over, that doesn't mean that you should stop cutting down Scotch broom. Please keep cutting it down.
Keep doing it.
But we also have purple loosestrife to pull and ivy to remove and all kinds of things that get into these landscapes and can cause a lot of trouble. And so we've got a really full schedule. Again, you can visit our website for more information about that or call the office and ask to speak with Celeste directly, and she can set you up with information about where exactly where those sites will be. And that's another great way to visit some of our lands that really aren't easy to get to. Mm-hmm. And that's really the only way that you can access it if you're there with us. So,
well, you have a whole variety of events coming up this summer and
into
the fall. We have
a series of different field programs going throughout the summer, programs at the mill ponds and seaside, learning about pollinators on the coast, and they all kind of culminate in National Estuaries Day, which mm-hmm. we celebrate at the end of September,
okay.
and we have a great event out at the Nacanicum Estuary in Seaside. And then that will segue right into our winter program, which we started just this past year with the Nacanicum Watershed Council. We partnered with them on a program we called Listening to the Land, and it's a series of evening lectures that take place at the Seaside Public Library.
Great.
And then we try to have related field programs sort of as the weather allows, because this is in winter,
mm-hmm.
that kind of get us out on the lands, even in the middle of winter, wow. Looking at some of the things that we were talking about in the lectures. So there's a lot of different ways that people can get involved and find out more about the work we do.
That's great. Well, now, how about managing the land? You mentioned a stewardship plan.
Mm-hmm.
There has been some talk. I know in Cannon Beach they're trying to preserve the Ecola wildlife, the Ecola forest behind
mm-hmm.
the city. They
yeah.
haven't quite acquired it yet.
Yeah. Yeah,
and there's been some talk about how to manage that land when they do acquire that. So that's foremost in a lot of people's minds. Once you get this land, how do you manage it?
Well, it's a lot of work, I'll
yeah.
tell you that. It takes a lot of thought. And again, this is work that our stewardship director, Celeste, is wonderful at. And Katie Volke, actually, our executive director, started out as our stewardship person. And so she really understands stewardship and really holds that deeply in her heart and understands the responsibility when you take on a piece of land. And so we do work out a stewardship plan for every piece of property, and that looks at, you know, does it need to have invasives removed? Does anything need to happen to the property? Does it just need to be allowed to exist how it is? What kind of access is there? Do we need to limit access? And that involves a lot of site visits, surveys. We try to do plant surveys to understand what plants are there, what invasives are there, what non-natives are there, and what natives are there, so we can help to understand what's in this landscape. You know, what's the wildlife that's using it?
And I imagine you look at land that's adjacent to it to see how it might.
We try to see what the context is
yeah.
that the land is in. And then it also involves going back, I mean, annually to visit the piece of land. Sometimes it's not doing a full survey, but to visit the piece of land and check on it and see, are these things happening? You know, what's happening to it? Has anything bad happened? Has something good happened? And that takes a lot of time. So, I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to happen. We're happy to do it, and we're always happy to have people's support for the work we do.
Do you have any lands that you would like to see conserved? In either by the North Coast Land Conservancy or by others?
Well, really, our guiding philosophy is that we work with willing landowners. We work with people who come to us with land that they want to conserve. We don't go out chasing real estate mm-hmm. signs and say, we want to put that land under conservation. So really what we try to do is build partnerships within our entire community and put forth this vision of, you know, a functioning coastal system and see how lands might fit into that. And so we try to talk to as many people as possible and build those relationships that will allow people to look at the lands and say, wow, you know, maybe this land, maybe this beautiful wetland really would be better functioning as a wetland, and I want to work with North Coast Land Conservancy to help conserve it to make sure that it does. And that's really the kind of ways that we look at how to approach conservation in our community.
Right. Well, now I know that you are a farmer in your other life, and how do you see being a farmer, melding in with your position as a development director?
You know, to me, I have no problem finding balance between the two, because I've always my philosophy with farming has always been wanting to provide, you know, plenty of food for both people and wildlife. And so we have always tried to incorporate wildlife habitat and respect riparian areas and ecosystem function on our farms as much as the parts that we're farming and cultivating, and have those be in balance with the parts that are better left for wildlife. And I see farming as being important to local communities as well. I mean, people need to eat. Conservationists need to eat food too. And so there needs to be food. And, you know, what we would try to encourage is, you know, for anyone on their lands, you know, whether they're a farmer, whether they're a homeowner with a quarter acre lot, whether they live in an apartment, whatever, to think about what's the land under your care. You are the steward of your piece of land, no matter how big or small is it. And think about the context that that fits into, and how can you be as good a steward of that piece of land as possible? Because wildlife doesn't always know. Migrating birds, you know, they might land on a tree in the national park. They may land on a tree in your backyard. And if that's the appropriate tree for them and it provides good habitat for them, then that bird will benefit. And so everybody can participate in stewardship on Oregon's coast, and that's what we really try to encourage.
Well, I know we have a lot of elk walking through properties locally, so
the elk can be a challenge. They are a challenge on our farm. They're a challenge everywhere. And again, there's ways that you just have to learn to work in partnership with the elk, and sometimes that involves a really big fence, and sometimes it involves having lands where it's appropriate for the elk to just be. And certainly at our property in Circle Creek, we have an amazing elk herd there that that thrives.
Now, people can come to your Circle Creek property.
They can, yeah. I mean, we do have our conservation center there. It's not so much that it's open to the public, but there are appropriate places for people to walk. There's no set trails. But if somebody came out and knocked on our door, we could point them in a direction if they wanted to, you know, go bird watching or do something like that. There's some great sources, you know, all throughout the whole Nacanicum Estuary Park at the estuary and along there. There's some great places for people to walk. And hopefully as that natural history park evolves, there will be more places for people to engage with the landscape and really get up close and learn more about all the wonderful places that are here on the North Coast. I mean, it is an amazing landscape that we live in.
It really is. And I think you have some links, too, to bird watching and to hiking.
We do,
on your
yeah.
website?
Yeah, we do on our website, yeah. So that's a really great place to start out with and learn more about us.
All right. Well, give us your phone number again and your website.
The phone number is 503-738-9126, and our website is www.nclctrust.org.
Great. And you'll have a list of all the events that are coming up.
We do have lists of events. There's information about our stewardship volunteer program and a little bit about the organization. One of my jobs is updating our site, so I'm working on that.
Great.
I need to update some more information, but yeah, that's a great way to start.
Well, thank you, Teresa. It's been great talking to you today about the North Coast Land Conservancy. You've been listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5. I'm Nancy McCarthy for the Daily Astorian.